You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
If you ever change stations and that goes in the trash, you need to let me know.
You think we're going to throw a mic boom in a trash can? So now you got sticky fingers. You got to
No. This hand only touched donuts. This one did not.
Okay. All right.
This one touched donuts.
Wait a minute.
One.
But look. Napkins. Oh, how
I would not. Believe me, I'm around stuff.
Well, yeah.
I'll touch ink with this hand, and then this hand will be clean.
So that's how you do it. You keep one ready just in case you...
Yeah, like Andrew Dice Clay says. We're not recording, are we?
Well, I'm just testing mics right now. Yeah. Like Andrew Dice Clay says what?
It always... When you're having... What is it? When you're having sex, always wear one sock.
And why do you wear one sock?
So you have something to wipe your...
Oh, my Lord!
When you're done.
Oh, that's so bad. I love He's Dice. Horrible. He's great, though. I have to get ready. Okay, I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Here we go. The Sound apparently, I'm not ready. Tommy Starr hanging out with you on the Sound Atlas. And with us today, tonight, this afternoon, is Mr. Jim Madison. Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm good.
Let me ask you, how many times have you done things like this?
A few times.
A lot of people are interested in talking to you because you're kind of known in the area. You're kind of known worldwide, not only for yourself, Jim Madison, but of course, Sprint Mafia.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you've done interviews like this many, many times. Some of I know of.
Yes.
That you've done, well, just this year, right?
Yeah, I've done quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you can think of off the top of your head that when folks talk to you like this, they mostly want to talk to you, of course, about Print Mafia? Is there anything that you wish they would ask you that they never really venture into that area?
You know, I don't know.
Yeah. You're just kind of like, whatever you're into, you can ask me.
Yeah, just whatever you want to talk about.
Okay. So we're going to talk about you a little bit today.
Okay.
And maybe a little bit about Print Mafia. Is that cool?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, real quick, since I mentioned Print Mafia, let's go ahead and do what you've probably done 150 times. Give us a very quick kind of Print Mafia, where you went, how you started, how'd that all come about?
Like 20 years ago?
Sure. Just this I could do like a 5-minute, this is Print Mafia.
Okay. About 5 years ago. No, not 5 years ago.
No.
20 years ago.
There you go.
But it's been a little bit longer.
It was 97, so like 22 years probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 97.
Okay.
Me and my friend Connie, Connie Collinsworth, we just started doing silkscreen gig posters for bands.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it.
That's it. There we go.
20 years ago. 22 years ago.
And you've been doing it ever since.
Yes.
See how you did that in like seconds? Now, pre-Print Mafia, there was something else going on, wasn't there? What about Barking Dog?
Well, that was, it all kind of like, it's all, I don't want to say like a blur, but we had a retail store. Actually, the retail store was older than Print Mafia.
Okay.
Because me, Connie, and our friend Mike, we had like a little print shop, and it was, you know, it was more, turned into more work than I guess we could handle or whatever.
So you're saying,
I don't know. We were young then. So we had a print shop.
So you're saying that you guys met, you got to know each other, you guys were all into the same thing.
Yeah.
And someone said, what if you say we open our own shop?
Yeah.
What year are we talking here?
That'd be like 96.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're taking them back to 96.
About 96.
Okay.
We had that, like a retail store above Box of Rocks.
Okay. That whole upstairs was you guys?
Yeah. Yeah. There for a little while, it was us. And then, you know, we didn't stay in business that long.
Mm-hmm.
It was too much. We were not business people, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I wasn't.
Yeah. So you're saying that the idea was to do something fun, something you did.
Yeah.
And then you were like, well, wait a minute. We have to be a little bit serious. This is like a real deal business.
Yeah.
We have to run it. We have to pay a little bit more close attention to what we're doing. We have to count money and stuff.
Well, yeah, mostly it's just dealing with customers and being there on time and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, stuff that I do, you know, we were young, you know. I guess we were young.
I appreciate the honesty.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're saying that Barking Dog was actually the name of the store.
Okay. But Connie and I discovered gig posters. About that time, we discovered, like, Juxtapose magazine. You know, this was pre-internet.
Oh, absolutely. So, like, or you know, right when it was just kicking in.
Yeah. So, you know, there was gig posters. you know, there's Hatch Show Print and all that stuff. You see, like, the old Elvis posters. And
everybody,
like,
knows,
you
know, those,
yeah,
guys.
The, yeah, old country posters and all that stuff. But then, and then there was, like, the hippie posters. But see, I was going to school, like, I was a printmaker, you know, in high school, started doing silkscreen in college. And so we, I don't know, like, we just came across Art Rock catalog and ordered some posters for the store. And then that whole time, like, we were doing silkscreen posters for Barking Dog. And it finally just put two and two together and just said, you know, we should be doing this.
You're like, we're buying posters from other, yeah, people, yeah, and then we're also doing our own. Why don't, yeah, we just do all our, yeah, own and sell them?
Yeah. And so, like, you know, I was an artist. Connie was, at that point, was, like, interested in art. You know, she had, she knows what's cool, what she likes. She was a fan of graphic design and art.
Sure.
But wasn't, you know, like, doing artwork then. So, We just started doing posters. That's, and I skipped a lot of stuff.
Oh, no, but you hit the high points.
Yeah,
though.
There was one artist in particular, Frank Kozik, who came out with a book, who basically outlined what to do. Like,
oh, he told you how to do it.
Yes, like, basically, like one method that he had was, like, you know, there's a show you want to do. Call the club, say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a poster for that show. You know, say, Butthole Surfers are playing Exit In. Just call Exit In and, gotcha, be like, hey, I want to do a Butthole Surfers poster. I'm going to give you 35 copies, and then I'm going to keep another 50 copies, and I'm going to sell mine. They cost you nothing. It's a pretty good selling point, you know.
So you're saying that I'll come into the show and set up and sell if you're cool with that? Or do you mean sell on the internet or whatever?
Some people did do that. But here was me and Connie's take on that whole thing. And this all just kind of evolved. So it's kind of like there's a lot of gray areas right there. Mm-hmm. And of course, this is in, like, you know, 97. There's no internet, beginning of internet, I guess, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so like it's kind of bootleggy, but mm-hmm. not the club saying, hey, yes, you can do this. The band really doesn't know about it, mm-hmm. but they come in, they get a poster, a free poster. Now, with their posters, here's what they can do.
Yeah.
They can take those posters and they can sell them there at that venue for whatever they want to and get a little extra money. Yeah. Or they can hang on to them.
So it didn't cost them,
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, it doesn't cost them anything. So it's free merch for them.
Yeah.
Or just to take home and say, hey, look, we played this show. And, you know, so there's that deal. But it's still a little bootleggy, but this is 97, and we're dealing with, like, Reverend Horton Heat and smaller, like, smaller bands, you know. And it's also before people were still making money on records, I guess, then.
Sure. Well, I mean, records at that time was kind of pretty much kind of done.
Was
done.
It?
Yeah.
Okay.
The early 90s, I mean, right now the early 90s vinyl is worth crazy money because they were just printing less and less and less on,
okay,
vinyl. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was just extra money. They didn't come in, you know, extra money. But here's the thing. Some people did set up. Some people charged for their, you know, their designs and that kind of stuff. Me and Kylie were just, I always wanted to be in a band. I could never be in a band. This was my contribution.
Sure.
You know, so I would go to the show. We get treated really well. You get, like, four, you know, passes.
Yeah.
You know, you went to shows with me. You know, so
absolutely.
You go in early. You get to meet the band if you want to. You know, especially like X and N, those places that you really build up a relationship.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
You're cutting in line.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting treated well. You know, meeting the band, and you're part of their history. And, yeah, and you know, and it just felt good to be part of. That was the payment alone.
Well, you kind of become part of the whole process.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, and back then, too, like, we had no idea you could make a living at it.
Mm.
You know, and we weren't trying to. We were just doing it. It was fun to do. And something to do.
So it just, I mean, kind of like you started like that, and then it was like,
yeah,
boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Then you got some big clients.
Yeah.
What was your first, like, whoa, I can't believe those guys want to work with us.
Yeah. But, you know, I also got set. Let me go back, okay, real quick,
okay,
about us. Like, because some people did set up and sell at the show, but me and Connie decided early on we didn't want to do that,
mm-hmm,
because, you know, that band's coming in. They're traveling. They, you know, I'm not going to go in there and sell a poster that, number one, they don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that gray area. And then I'm over here we're making money.
I can,
you know,
see that.
We can make ours the day after.
Right.
Or it's just part, you know, when we were printing like editions of 40 prints. You know, it wasn't like, you know, we weren't really making a lot of, like, making money. But, sure. So anyway, I just wanted to clarify that. Sure. So
basically what you're saying is, look, we'll print these posters. The club can have some. They can do what they want to with them. If they want to make a little money off of them, fine. The band can have some. They can make a little money off of it. And in turn, they'll kind of let you kind of go and do your thing.
Yes.
And so they don't feel like they're just getting screwed. Like, yeah. You know, selling bootleg t-shirts in a parking lot. Look, no.
Exactly.
We're letting you make a little money here. Yeah. And the club a little bit of money if you'll allow us to make a little bit of money.
Yeah. And gotcha. And that's also building up a relationship.
Sure.
With the bands.
Right.
And their tour managers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you were going to talk about, like, a big job that Print Mafia, that we always talk about, is the Tool thing, right? You were getting ready to talk about
the Tool thing, but, I mean, before that, I mean, that was a big one, but, I mean, that was kind of recent in your history. Like,
that was 2008.
Okay, yeah. But, so, I mean, you guys were already doing stuff for, you know, 10, 11 years.
Yeah.
Was there anything before that? Or was Tool really the... Did you have anything, like, one day you got a phone call or an email and went, I cannot believe this band, fill in the blank, wants to work with us?
Well, that was Kiss.
Tell us about that.
No, well, me and Connie are big fans of Kiss.
Absolutely.
I like Gene Simmons. She likes Ace Frehley.
Yeah.
So those two makeup we would put on just about everybody, mostly Gene Simmons.
Uh huh.
You know, just because it's one color. You got to put the silver. If you're going to do Ace, you got to do the silver.
Sure.
Silver's a little difficult to print.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to get right sometimes.
Okay.
But, you know, Gene works on everybody.
Okay, hang on one second. Okay. Before we go into the Kiss, let me ask you this.
Yes.
What was the first image that you put the makeup on a poster? What's the first poster you're like, this needs Gene makeup or Ace makeup?
Man, I wish Connie was here because she would know. I want to say like maybe Sugar Cult Slack. I would be able to look that up. That's probably like 2002.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the date on that poster.
Yeah.
But it might have been before then because, you know, we did some Barking Dog. Well, no. I want to say 2002. Just Sugar Cult for 2002.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So we're going to go all the way back to 2002 and you say that's when you did it the first time. Okay. So what year was it when you got the phone call from Kiss or the email or what happened?
It was I don't know. Connie would have got that. I don't know if it was a call, but we thought we were being sued.
Yeah.
Because I knew. I was just like, well, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
But they called and wanted us to do artwork.
Yeah.
And that was a cool experience. You know, that was really cool to do that. You know.
But did you wonder, like, how did they find out about us? What did they see? Who said what? Did you ever get any of that?
No. Well, see, I'm trying to think because since, I think every year since... For a while, we've been doing posters for Kiss, for Bridgestone Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Or Somme Center at one point, and then Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to think if we were doing Kiss posters when they called us.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think they were.
You were doing something, and they saw it, and somehow got your name, you got the call.
Yeah.
And what did they want you to do? Posters, or memorabilia, or what?
Just t-shirt designs.
T-shirt designs.
And I remember the guy telling us, do you think you could just... get some pictures of the bands and cut them out. And we were like, yes, that's what we do. Yeah. Because they sent us, here's the thing, they sent us pictures to use,
mm-hmm.
but they weren't good.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did is we went through, I think, Lipstick Killers
mm-hmm.
and like those, you know, really good, probably had your help too.
The Kiss books you're talking
about. The Kiss books. The
folks who don't know what Lipstick Killers is.
And got good old photographs of them
mm-hmm.
and cut and pasted it. And then when we cemented our stuff in, I think we mailed it in.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow Gene and Paul saw it.
Mm-hmm.
They got to their hands before it went through Sony Signatures. And so Sony Signatures got a little bit upset because Gene and Paul wanted a couple of those designs, but Sony Signatures didn't want to pay the photographer of those designs.
Gotcha.
But they were like, why didn't you use the post, you know... They really like... I remember them being like, man, they really like those. Why didn't you use our pictures that we sent you? We're like, because the pictures you sent us aren't good pictures.
Right.
This is what Kiss fans want.
Exactly.
This is what, you know, they want.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So that was... And they got it. And they were upset, but they were like, you know... And I remember him saying, if they want it, we got to do it.
Sure.
So they had to go back And I forgot which photographer it was, but he was difficult to work with.
Oh, really? Was it the one that the picture that you used of them for the T-shirt, the 1974 picture of them kind of in the park and the logos big back behind them?
Yeah.
I think that guy's name is like Warren Abbott.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Warren Abbott. They were like, man, Warren. You know, and I was like, I mean, those are the best photos.
Yeah.
Those are the best photos. And here's what's crazy is they still use them today.
Sure.
And there was one gig poster artist that told us, because we were, you know, me and Connie were new at doing this, and he said, he told us, who had worked with Signature, he did a lot of stuff for Incubus and all that kind of stuff, and he was like, look, don't take the buyout. Don't.
Yeah.
Take a piece every time they use it. And me and Connie were like, there's no way we're going to know that.
Yeah.
They're going to do this. You know,
they're just going to give you a number. Yeah. How are you going to know the count?
And I forgot how much the amount was, but it was good.
Yeah.
And we took it.
Mm-hmm.
And then how many years later we still see it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've seen air fresheners at Minute Mart, seen big blankets at Walmart, mm-hmm. see it, random T-shirts. I mean, those designs they still use to this day.
Well, as for folks that are listening right now, and there's a lot of KISS fans out there, if you can kind of describe a couple of the products that they may have or have seen that are from Print Mafia.
Well, the most popular one, KISS one, is it's all four faces, and it's kind of, it's real cut and paste. Like, you can really see the cut lines, mm-hmm. and as KISS in the middle. And I can't think of like right now where their placement is. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like it's cut kind of like a window pane, and then four faces.
Yeah.
And you're talking about like the air freshener and the blanket?
Air freshener, the blanket,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a teddy bear that wears it, and then a T-shirt on several different T-shirts.
Yeah,
and that's all that you know that I remember seeing. And I also saw it on a bottle opener.
Oh, cool! I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've got one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you need to give that to me. You don't need that.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. I'm getting rid of stuff. So.
No, you don't need to give that away. Yeah. That kind of come in handy.
Yeah.
KISS, that's one. Throw out a couple other names of bands.
So the Tool thing.
Yeah.
Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
But then like, you know, the Shins, and we built up like a lot of good like relationship, like the Raveonettes, and but like, you know, that the Tool was the biggest, because that was like a big band,
mm-hmm.
who really has their stuff together. That thing took things to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Because they respected us, and they paid us really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that kind of money was never going to end.
Yeah. Now, is this where they had that tour and they wanted a poster for every night of the tour?
Every night of the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was like 425 posters per tour. I mean, per night. Of that, you know, so it was, you know, and Connie's working a full-time job and I was working a full-time job, but it was the kind of money that it was like, I got to, for a real short of time, I got to, and Connie too, we got to just be artists.
Sure.
And it was cool. And the money was rolling in. I didn't manage my money well. And also that was 2008 and it just stopped like overnight, stopped.
Yeah.
But that relationship started back whenever we were doing Melvin's posters.
Sure.
Like in, you know, 98.
Because
mm-hmm. that tour manager and some people in Melvin's organization knew some people in Tool's organization. And they were like, hey, you know, we were not the... I say this all the time. We are not like... We are good at being Print Mafia.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a look... And we always delivered, and we were always on time.
Right.
You know, so we're not the best artists, but we're going to do what we say, and we're adults.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not, me and, you know, we weren't out finding other stuff to do. We'd get our work done.
Sure.
And then, you know.
You're saying, look, if you'll give us a job, and you'll just stay out of our hair for a minute and let us do our thing, when we present what we have, you're going to go, dang, that's badass. Well,
but yes, yeah. And Tool treated us like they came knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the exhausting thing is when you're dealing with, and was ultimately the demise of, I would say, you know, no, Print Mafia is no longer.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that, right?
Well, we've talked about that some, but I didn't know that it was completely, totally done, because you did mention to me that you guys may possibly still do stuff from time to time, but now you're telling me that it's done?
Well, it is done.
Mm-hmm.
It is done.
Okay.
But me and Connie are still very close.
Mm-hmm.
And like she was just over at the house the other day, and she's
there. You go.
Know, she's busy doing her stuff, and she was like, you know, she's got all this amazing projects going on. She's doing. Have you seen that cult of, the new Cult of Raw record that she designed?
I have not.
Oh, it's freaking unbelievable!
Is
You're going to flip out.
Okay.
We'll have to look at it after this.
Okay. Well, I mean,
really good.
We were going to get to that. Talk yeah. about you and Connie.
Okay.
But you. You were getting, you
Keep
had
going.
A thought there. You had
yeah.
a thought there.
Well, no, she, no, like, so, you know, we're not doing Print Mafia together, but like, you know, she came over and we were listening to some artists that she's dealing with. She said, you know, if you want to do some artwork or something like that, you know, so like me and Connie are cool,
mm-hmm.
but it's what did I say? I understand why bands do solo projects.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, so
you know?
I would think that sometimes, something is really great at first and it goes well and you know, you make a good living at it, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. But at some point, something else kind of sparks your interest and you kind of want to veer off a little bit because what was once, that's just like relationships.
Yeah.
At first, they're the greatest thing ever and you're having more sex than you could possibly have and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And then eventually it mellows out. It's just like a new car. You get a new car,
yeah.
you wash that sucker every day, you vacuum it out, but eventually... You let those ring-ding wrappers sit in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
You don't care.
Yeah.
But after a while, and then things get a little too comfortable. Sometimes
yeah.
you need to
yeah.
kind of shake it up a little bit.
So yeah.
I have a little bit different interest. I want to go over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and she just, I was going through a lot of personal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wasn't happy. And I couldn't really figure out why. And then, went through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just not in a good place, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
well,
I mean, now.
Brother, that's life. That's how
yeah,
life
oh,
goes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just, you know, we did a lot of stuff. We were going to announce that, you know, I should have told her. I didn't know we would be talking.
Well, I mean, this is not posted until Monday. So you got a couple of days,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, she'll probably be. You know, I think everybody knows.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I mean, because she's busy.
Yeah.
You know, and
she's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I've got stuff going on, but
yeah.
I don't know. I did pick up a bunch of gig posters that I'm doing, and she's doing gig posters.
Yeah.
You know.
So you guys are still doing posters and other things, but you're saying the entity of Print Mafia is kind of done. And you guys are kind of just solo
yeah.
artists now.
Yes, we're okay. solo artists now.
There we
but
go.
Here's the thing about. Here's another thing about Print Mafia is we have 20 years of stuff.
20 years plus.
20 years plus of stuff that we have done.
Yeah.
So, and that stuff is slowly disappearing, and that is such a good feeling.
Yeah.
Because like the other day, you know, we have different stacks of posters and I ended up I can now put all the art prints are in one area when they were in like three different areas.
Yeah.
So that stuff is slowly disappearing.
You're saying you're selling it.
Yes. It's
yeah.
still selling.
Yeah. Well, it will sell
yeah.
probably even more if you let the world
yeah.
know you guys are
yeah.
done. They're going to be buying that
yeah.
stuff up left and right.
Yeah. And yeah. It's still like, you know, it's weird. Like, the gig poster world is like it's not, you know, that big
mm-hmm.
or whatever. But in that world, that realm, we're pretty well known.
I would say so.
You know, but like so in my history, I kind of make up my own history. So you got, you know, the old boxing, old stuff, Hatch, the old posters, and then you got like the hippie stuff. And then you start with like the Kozik more, you know, modern posters. And I'm trying to think of like that would be 90s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then here we come in, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. And so now that's, there's been at least three waves since
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of like I'm 48, Connie's 48. We've kind of got this respect, the street cred.
Absolutely. You put in the time,
yeah.
put in the work.
And our style, you know, the cut and paste. And we kind of, we did some designerly stuff and, what am I trying to say? Our aesthetic is cut and paste.
Sure.
So we're not like illustrators, but we did do some illustration.
Yeah.
We never had like, we were just having fun. You know, Connie worked at Kinko's forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I work at a print shop forever doing other people's stuff all day long. When we get done out of those jobs, we want to do our own stuff and we want to have fun doing it. So that's what we did. It was like a release, and then it turned into a job. And then we started making money. And then when I was having that hard, like that real hard time, I was trying to make a living at it.
Sure.
And it took away, like trying to design something that will sell is very hard to do.
So you're saying that instead of just doing your thing, you kind of tried to chase with the dollar a little bit.
Yeah. And so we had some good clients. Like we had a good festival client, like one good festival client.
Mm-hmm.
And those make a lot of money. It's a lot of work. It was a way more work on Connie than it was for me, because she was, you know, she's real good with merchandising and like t-shirt colors and trends and what's hot and what's not. She's watching television. She just has a knack for knowing what, like the next great thing.
Sure.
She's also really good at getting things done, like patches, buttons, like all that kind of stuff. She has Riding High Productions is what. And then she has other like little side labels at like Butch and Sissy and all that stuff. So she's really good at getting that stuff done.
Well, so let me ask you a couple of questions about Print Mafia, and we're gonna put that to rest. Okay. We're gonna go somewhere else.
Okay.
Just off the top of my head, what do you think is the most collectible Print Mafia poster? Like the one that's like, dude, if you got a copy of that, you can get yourself a new car.
I would say maybe right now, White Stripes. The first time they played the end, uncut sheet, which the uncut sheet has, I think it has Dolly Parton at the top. Yeah, okay, it's a skinny tall poster. So just say 10 by 20. It's a little bit bigger than that.
Sure.
So at the top, we printed a Loretta Lynn. It has Loretta Lynn and Dolly Parton. And what we did was, is we printed those and we cut them in half.
Sure.
And they were two little bitty posters. So you had like a little poster set.
Gotcha.
But there's some we didn't cut in half.
Ah.
So it's like an uncut sheet of those.
Wow.
And I think that right now would be what someone would want.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, that was the first time the White Stripes, Jack White, ever went to Nashville.
The first time. Wow.
They played Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time they ever played, White Stripes played Nashville, which he lives in Nashville.
Sure.
It was, we did the Loretta Lynn because we read that Meg White and him were big fans of Loretta Lynn, which he later did that record with.
Mm-hmm.
They did Jolene, so it had Dolly Parton on that. And then they were with the Greenhorns, which they turned around and did the Rick on Tours. So there's like a lot of things going on in that poster.
Sure.
So I would say that.
Now, what year are we talking for that poster?
Heck, I don't know. 2002. I could be totally wrong.
Now, I'm just going to ask you this because there's people listening right now that are going to try to hit you up and go, hey, man, I want to buy one of those posters. Yep. What do you want for it? So either yes, you have some for sale, or no, you don't, because we're going to stomp that out right now.
The last one I had, I gave away.
Okay, so you have none for sale. They're all gone.
Now, Connie might have one, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's so crazy. When I go through stuff, like back then we were printing with spray tack, which is a glue. You spray down, put the paper down, but that spray tack would also, it can make another poster stick on the back of it.
Sure, there could be two. Yeah.
So I'm finding all kinds of stuff. Now, I have not found one of those. I've got an uncut sheet, but I remember the last one I had because it was, you didn't know it was going to be the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? Now that I think of it, it could be the Donnie Marie poster, White Stripes. That was the first White Stripes we did.
Mm-hmm.
And and the reason I say White Stripes is because that's big.
Well, like, I mean,
they're collectors.
Because they just went boom.
Yeah. They went boom, and then they have their collectability, and still people collect it.
Sure.
But I remember I wanted to print red on that poster. The red, I was out of red, so I went down to Hobby Lobby and got this red, and it didn't work. And I had a stack of those posters, and I got angry and threw them in the trash. Yeah. So not many of those made it. Like 10 maybe made it out of like 40 or something.
Dang, that's amazing. So there's a little bit of trivia for those of you out there who collect concert posters. Maybe you're a White Stripes fan. I have a feeling you're going to be doing some searching after that little tidbit there.
And then another little tidbit about like what, like when I say 22 years of posters, I think we stopped counting close to 1,000 different shows we did posters for.
That's amazing. It's hard to think about. 1,000 different shows.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there used to be this website that we would post, gigposters.com, that's no more. And we would post every poster. And we were like 937, I think, was the last poster before the site went down.
What? Why did the site go down?
I don't know how anything about websites or how they work, but it just got so big and it was getting hacked. The guy was just doing it out of the love of his heart, you know, and I just think him, he tried to make a business out of it, and I think he did, but it's just whatever happens when something gets hacked, mm-hmm. to get it back on track, and then a lot of people's, card numbers and all that stuff is at risk, and it was just too much for him to deal with. You know, plus he had a job, too.
Yeah, that was just kind of something he was doing for fun.
Yeah, just doing for fun, but that website made it all things possible after that. Because really, are we talking too long about this?
No. Okay. No.
Because when we started, no one knew what in the hell gig posters were. So, you know, we're here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. So first we started with Nashville because that's how we can go to those shows.
Yeah. But we could drive down there, deliver the posters, go to the show.
Yep. And here is what's so freaking crazy about the whole thing is I was working with I think it's Steve West at Go West. Mm-hmm. Productions. Are you familiar with
them? I have heard of Go West. Okay.
They did all the shows at 328. Mm-hmm. That was all Go West. Well, hell, I remember being in college and I would go into the record store before I even started working there and I would see the posters that they would have printed for all the shows. That's how you found out about shows.
Yeah.
You go out to the mall, look, oh man.
Oh, you know, so-and-so's
body count,
playing so-and-so.
Body count's playing 328. We got to go, you know?
That's right.
So you would just go out there because, you know, we didn't get Nashville scenes, so that's where we got them.
Yeah.
So, I was just picking one up one day, and I was just like, man, you know, I'm going to Western. I wonder if I could get into shows free. If I had them send me posters, and I said, I'll put them up on campus. And I did. I put them up on campus. I called him up, and he's like, sure, I am taking silk screen class.
Yeah.
So he would mail me these posters. I'd hang them up, go to shows free. But I never thought, man, I mean, because I missed out on some good shows back then, like Pantera with White Zombie.
Yep. That was like 96.
Was it Danzig, White Zombie, and Pantera played a show together?
Danzig, I don't know, but 96, I believe, is when Pantera and White Zombie, that big tour. Because when Kiss was playing up in Louisville, that first show, well, the second show, technically, for the reunion tour, and they played up at Freedom, which was like June 30th or something, 96, Vinnie Paul was there. I saw him.
Wow.
And they were there because like the next night was Pantera and White Zombie.
Yeah.
And so Dime was somewhere down up front for that show. So, yeah, that was around 96.
Crazy.
Of course, people are going to check that, see if we got that right, but I'm pretty sure that's right.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Check it. It's okay with me.
So anyway, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, let me ask you another thing.
Okay.
You guys put out a book.
Yes.
Yeah. Real quick, a little bit about that.
The ABCs of Rock.
Absolutely.
So whereas most the stuff we did is gray areas. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
The book was not. It was it was 100% legit. ABC's a rock. So it's just AACDC, B, David Bowie.
I know.
So Clash, so on.
Yeah. I know it took a lot of time to do that because you had to get everything approved, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was an interesting project because we were the illustrators.
Mm-hmm.
Print Mafia, me and Connie were the illustrators. Melissa Duke Mooney was the author. Mm-hmm. So it was her, and she was a publicist, and she passed away during the book.
Yeah.
That was rough.
I bet.
And I mean, it was just because, especially her and Connie got really close, you know, just dealing with, because it was her dream for this book. And, and they, you know, she had this big, she worked with some other artists and came to us through a mutual friend. And then, it was a good relationship. It was good. And we got the approval, sent it off to the book company. Mm-hmm. Random House ended up buying the book company out. But, you know, it was a really good book. It was a good project. But her passing away, it really stops. We thought it was going to be the end of it. But then some of her friends picked it up. But, everything had to be approved. And it was interesting. What was... one of the stories was Kiss was the first one we sent in. And it was the last one contract we got back. It took at least, I think, 3 years to do it.
Yeah.
Right? So sent that Kiss in. And to the point to where we had to tell Kiss, look, if you don't approve it, we're going to have to get someone else. So we called the Kinks. Yeah. The Kinks.
Yep.
The Kinks approved it. We're so excited.
Uh-huh.
And then Kiss said, okay, yeah. And they sent their contract in.
Uh-huh.
And then we had to go back to Kiss. Yeah. I mean, go back to the Kinks and be like, oh, man. But there's every page of that book has a story.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it still in print by any chance? Is it a collector's item now?
It took a hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because books just generally took a hit. Yeah. Everything was taking a hit. But that book in particular, it was an ABC's book. But it was more of an art book.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it was more of an art
book.
Barnes & Noble, like, what was crazy about it is Random House said, I know it went through a couple of runs, at least. It's still out there. You can get it on Amazon.
Cool.
I've heard some people get it at half-price books. Some people have paid $16.99. Some people have paid $1.50 for it.
Sure.
But it's a good-looking book, but, man, what was I going to say? It was selling at other places other than bookstores.
Sure.
So, it was just cool to, like, you know, I took Maya to the Frist in Nashville, and
yeah.
There was a copy in their gift shop.
So how cool is that?
Yeah, yeah. Art galleries and stuff like that. Yeah. Record stores were picking it up.
Yeah.
Places other than bookstores. So they're like, well, we need to do this. We had planned to do more. We probably would have done some because they're, you know, it's ABC's of rock, but we were going to look into ABC's of just the Beatles.
Oh.
Nice. Yeah. And then, you know, there's heavy metal and, you know, so we were
thinking maybe we just keep going with it. Yeah.
But after that it was good to do it and have it print and have it all be legit and to work with the people we worked with. Like, you know, we dealt with, you know, Sharon Osbourne, you know,
was that okay?
Yeah.
She was cool.
Oh, she was super cool. Sent some good, you know, good pictures of Ozzy to use.
Great.
Because the first one we did had a werewolf on it, and they were like, what? No way. Kids are not going to be able. But, you know, me and Connie went to a couple of kindergarten classes and, like, would show the book. They were like, look, we want you to, like, read the book. And I was just like, read the book. You know, and I was just, hey, AC/DC. And it was so great to hear, like, one kid said something. I can't think of who it was. Like, oh, my mom likes them. My dad doesn't like them, you know, like that. But every time we open that Kiss, they would all be like, ah! I mean, it would scare them because it had their faces on it.
Sure. Know, so. Yeah. And you're like, well, I wonder what I would have done with the werewolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The werewolf, it was, I remember his face was in the moon. It was like Bark of the Moon.
Sure.
You know, so.
Had the claws and the teeth and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. And me and Connie got to, we kind of described each page, like what it meant. Because that was like the first concert I went to was Bark at the Moon. Like arena show.
1983.
Yeah.
Man. Well, yeah. Okay. One last question about Print Mafia. This might be something you guys have thought of, but maybe not. Have you ever thought about a Print Mafia book? I know you guys have been in some art books. I mean, that would be a nice cap to the career is to have a book.
Yeah. You know, that's funny you say, because Connie says every time, make sure you don't sell the last copy in case we want to do a book.
Yeah.
If I had a dollar every time she said that. I wouldn't have to have a day job, probably.
But wouldn't that be funny? I mean, that would be a great capper. Yeah. Like, here is, you know, and have something that you and your kids and, you know, on down the line can have a look. Here is what they did.
Yeah.
Here's where it started. Here's where they wrapped up. Here it is.
Yeah.
That would be super cool.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
It would be. And, you know, we're in, like, we get in books from time to time when books just aren't what they used to be. It'd be cool to do a documentary.
Well, I know you guys have been in a couple of documentaries.
Yes, yeah, we've been
in
a couple of documentaries.
Now, throw those out, the names of those out there real quick if you don't mind.
Oh my gosh, what are they called? Oh my gosh, there's, you know.
There's a couple of them.
That you Died Young, Stayed Pretty.
There we go, yeah.
And here's the thing. It's on Amazon Prime.
Well, you could watch it now.
Yes. And it is so hard to watch.
Why?
It is just hard. It is just hard to watch because I'm just so, we're so young. And I say some of the dumbest stuff you could possibly imagine.
But we all think that about ourselves.
Yeah, but...
Yeah. God, I sound dorky.
Oh, my.
You sound like you do every day.
So,
you know.
Bad.
Yeah.
That sounds so bad on there. And then there's... other one is... I can't believe I can't... It's artifacts. Something artifacts. But I have to come back to that one.
They know how to go and look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the one on Amazon Prime, give me the name again.
Died Young, Stay Pretty.
Everybody check
that out. It's a hard watch.
It is for
you. I mean,
you.
It's just hard to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, someone might love it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it's difficult to watch.
Okay. We're putting a cap on Print Mafia. Let's talk about working at a record store.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you work at a record store here in BG?
Yeah.
Where did you work and how long did you work there?
It was Trax.
Uh-huh.
And then turned into Blockbuster Music.
Uh-huh.
And, man, that was a good time.
When did you tell us, you know, like when you started, how long did you work there?
Okay. Well, what was crazy is I was working at, Goodies Family Clothing forever.
I can't imagine you working at Goodies, but okay.
I did really well there because I'm a little bit OCD and I like things a certain way.
Yeah.
And that's when they started folding the Levi's, and I love Levi's. I love that product.
Sure.
I love the history of it.
Uh-huh.
And I just like folding them and having them nice and neat.
Yeah.
And I had this denim wall. And the Levi's people come in, they just loved it, man.
Yeah.
I could see it how I wanted it done.
Uh-huh.
Now, when the customers get in there and mess it up, I get angry. I'm not the best customer service.
Yeah.
But I can make the store look neat, but then I don't want anybody touching it.
So did you hide behind some shirts and stuff or watch people and go, damn it, don't touch it. No. It's your size. Take it or leave it.
As soon as they got over there, I was on it.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you want? What are you looking for? What exactly do you want? You want, the 501s? You want button flies?
Uh-huh.
Do you want 517 boot cuts? Do you want the 565 tapered leg, relaxed seat, relaxed fit?
Dang, listen to you go.
Yeah, I knew all the SKU numbers.
Uh-huh.
What was it? 144-150056 was, I can't think of which one. So I could name in the prices and I knew what was on. I liked doing that. But one day I went in and I was just like, I just don't want to work here anymore.
Uh-huh. You hit your limit, man. You hit your wall.
It would seem like it was just one day.
Yeah.
So I just went over to the mall. And I went up to Jed and I was like, I want to work here. And he's like, well, we're not hiring.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I really want to work here. And he was just like, he was like, cool, we'll just, fill out an application. We'll see. And so I filled out the application and then so I just started working there.
What year is all this when you worked at Goodies and when? Was this the late 80s, early 90s? When was this?
Early 90s.
Early 90s. Well, 92, 93, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all such a, I've never smoked anything. I've never smoked a cigarette or taken any drugs,
mm-hmm.
any of that stuff.
You've never even had a puff off a cigarette?
Never.
Wow, and that's
never
amazing.
Any drugs.
Yeah.
Now, when I was turning 16 right there, I was drinking a little bit with some buddies just trying to be cool, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we all go through that. It's just some people take it to extremes. Yeah. Some people go, nah, I'm done.
And I took it to extreme. Well, I got really drunk and ended up punching a cop, drunk at the mall.
Yeah,
it was bad news. Yeah,
that is bad.
And that was it.
You really shouldn't do that.
That was the end of it.
Yeah.
I went home and I was like, I'm done. I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
So, when I say it was a blur, I loved to just do artwork
mm-hmm.
and just have fun.
Yeah.
Go skate and just have fun. And this will sound horrible, chase girls around.
Well, yeah.
This early,
Yeah. I'm not gonna let you get away from the record store.
Okay,
I want to talk about the record store.
Yeah, record store.
So you're working at the record store.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. Tell people what it's like to work at a record store.
In the mall?
Yeah. Some of the people you have to deal with, some of the interesting things that happened. Any rock stars walk up just happen to be in Bowling Green, something crazy like that?
No, I don't remember any rock stars coming through.
Yeah.
Well, Greg Martin would come through.
Well, yeah. Greg's a rock star.
He is.
I think so.
He really is.
He is. He's got a Grammy and everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that, So he would come in and talk to Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you just got to meet, people in vans, but you're just talking about music.
Uh-huh.
And then Friday night, you got, the crazy kids in there.
Uh-huh.
And it was never boring.
Uh-huh.
But what was crazy, was weird, is I think people thought that maybe you're one step away from hanging out like Bon Jovi was in the back room.
You know what I mean?
Man, I bet you know Bon Jovi, don't you?
I don't know why I said Bon Jovi. But you know what I mean? It was a good time.
Yeah.
There was a lot of craziness going on.
Yeah. Did you get free records, man?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, promo, Jeff took most of them.
Promo, I bet.
Yeah.
Promos come
CDs,
in.
Yeah, CDs and tapes, you know. But CDs, yeah, promos would come in. They called them cutouts or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, but it was good. I mean, that was like, you know, In Utero came out.
Yeah.
And then there was always the crap that came out, you know, and so.
So we're talking like 92, 93, 94, right around in there.
Yeah.
So how long did you work at the record store?
It doesn't seem like I worked there very long. I worked there very long because I was, let me see. It wasn't good for me to work there.
Oh, why?
It was too crazy.
What? Well, I don't understand. What was not good for you to work
just,
there?
It just, it was
too much personal, you know, too much interaction with customers.
Yes. Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too much interaction with customers, you know.
I'm sure you like people just fine, but there's the occasional one that will kind of get on your nerve, and you were just like, man, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good job. It just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
You know, plus I wasn't, and another thing that happened was this one girl I used to work with, her husband had a sign shop, and he wanted to start silk screening signs.
Oh.
So I was kind of doing that, like getting that off the ground.
Yeah.
Like working with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then like coming to work, working two jobs.
Yeah.
The thing with like the silk screening, you when you go in, you were setting up a job, especially like I was printing, but I wasn't like, you know, doing like art printing in school, but I wasn't printing for like business printing. Like I'm going to print like 300 signs.
Mm-hmm.
That's a totally different than printing, you know, 10 pieces of paper. So I was learning how to do that and dealing with like all kinds of different materials and stuff like that. So, you know, I would go in the morning, but then sometimes I would have to stop a job or not finish a job, go work there, then go back, you know, and it was just like I just didn't need to work there anymore.
Yeah.
Nothing bad. I just did not need to work there
anymore. Well, it run its course.
Yeah. It run its course.
Yeah.
Plus I was getting ready to get married.
Yeah.
And you just don't need to be working at a record store.
Yeah. And this is married as in the mother of your children.
Yes.
Married.
Yeah. My first wife. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, as far as when, I guess back in the late 90s, I'd kind of heard a little bit about Print Mafia. Didn't really know much about you guys. I saw the occasional local band poster up on the wall that looked a little different than some of the other ones. And I think that's when you guys were doing stuff for, I don't know, like Lee Harvey and Grand Monster, and you did some early posters for Sixth Floor and stuff like that. And I remember one night seeing an advertisement for the band Famous Monsters going to be playing this club called Digglers.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell is a Digglers?
Yeah.
So what in the hell is a Digglers?
Well, okay, that building, well, it came from Dirk Diggler.
Yeah. I mean, I figured that out later, but at first I was like,
which is a good name. What?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Yeah. It was either going to be Digglers or Regal Beagle, which is from the club in Three's Company.
It sounds like, it sounds like somewhere you go to, you know, pick somebody up after work, the Regal Beagle.
Yeah. So the Regal, for all ages clubs, Regal Beagle didn't work out. So we thought Digglers would work.
Yeah.
And
sure.
That building was, that was the old print shop.
Mm-hmm.
So we just.
So you had actually worked there. That was where you guys had your first print shop.
First print shop.
Man, we just came full circle right there, man. Cool.
Yeah, that was, So, and that, the print shop, we disbanded the print, you know, the print shop, and the guy that bought us out, I went to work for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I still work there.
Yeah.
At that print shop.
Yeah.
But.
So, Digglers.
Yeah.
I guess you had like a, hey, wouldn't it be cool to own a club?
Well, we just thought, well, we'll just put a show on. Because it was, you know, my friend Smitty. And, he knew a bunch of bands. He was in a band, so we just put on a show and then took that money and paid rent and did another show and then did another show and started booking shows. And
tell everybody, if, you know, if they're like, I've heard of this, but where was it located?
It was on Old Louisville Road.
Mm-hmm. Right there on the corner of that little strip there.
Yeah, as it goes down.
It's right there.
Tattletales.
Yeah, folks, if you're going out to Louisville Road and you get to where you make that little lip around, if you are going to Tattletales, it's right there in that little turn. You see a little strip. It's right across the street from you. Yeah. I don't know the address, but how many shows did you guys have at Diggler's there?
We had quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Smitty would know right off the top of his head. And then we moved locations.
Yeah.
And then it was... That didn't work.
Yeah. I would say, I mean, I don't, I'm just kind of coming up with this, but I would say maybe 20 or so, maybe. Yeah. And then I think you guys were getting some smack about the noise or something. What was the problem?
When we moved.
Yeah.
When we moved.
Yeah.
First, it was the lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we
the
moved.
Lawyer?
The lawyer? Not the lawyer. The landlord.
Landlord.
The landlord. Well, the first one.
He didn't like it.
Well, he didn't like it. So we went to a different location, uh-huh. which we thought we could soundproof, but we didn't. Here was the problem with it, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, there's a noise ordinance. Mm-hmm. You are allowed to be so loud. You are allowed to be so many decimal meters. Like, you can be loud up to, like, you know, 10, 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You can be pretty loud.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought we were safe. We had a decimal reader. We soundproofed the best we could.
Mm-hmm.
But someone was complaining. Mm-hmm. All we know is one person was complaining a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't tell us who the one person was.
Mm-hmm.
We went around to the neighbors, you know, before we had shows, said, hey, we're having a show tonight. We're going to be done, da, 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 da. But we weren't even that loud.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't complain. One person complained. So my problem is how can you complain about something being too loud when it's legally not too loud?
Mm-hmm.
And that was that we had to deal with the Bowling Green Police Department on that. Now, mm-hmm. I was young.
Mm-hmm.
I was younger. I'm 48 now.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I had, you know, something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up going to jail.
Well.
And when I went to jail,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I will never, ever, ever go back to jail again.
Yeah. Because you were like, now, okay, it worked.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I got smart with the cop and all that stuff. When a smart thing to do would have been to, like, close it down and then go with a lawyer or something and take care of it and figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But smarting off the mouth at the police department
mm-hmm.
was not the way to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was young.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have friends on the police force,
mm-hmm.
and I can't, you know, I was very disrespectful.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, he was doing, I mean, he was put into a position too,
mm-hmm.
and the police report was just ridiculous. But, we ended up getting out of it, but I did end up spending the night in jail. Yeah. Holy moly. Don't ever go to jail.
I hope not to.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's a scary place.
Yeah. But Diggler was around, like a year, year and a half, something like that?
Maybe not that long. I don't know.
See, some folks might not know that Print Mafia, that Jim from Print Mafia one time had your own club. Well, you and who else? Smitty?
Yeah, me and Smitty.
Just you and Smitty?
And Tony Lopez. Tony was involved, too.
Okay. I think I've met Tony a couple of years back.
Yeah, because we did the radio show.
That's right. We did that a couple of times. Up.
Yeah.
Well, let's hit that real quick.
Okay.
American Nightmare Radio.
Well, we're talking about everything.
Well, we're just throwing some stuff out there. We're wrapping some stuff up.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell my little piece on this.
Okay.
I remember one weekend or a couple of weekends, I was thinking it would be kind of cool to do something kind of punkish.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of in my head. And then I get like a phone call or a message or something from you going, what do you think about doing like a radio show, blah, 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 kind of punkish. And I was like, holy cow. That's exactly what's kind of been in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. So explain to those listening, what was American Nightmare Radio?
Well, it was me and Smitty.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say mostly Smitty because he coordinated. He put a lot of work into that.
He put a lot of work into it, and he made the set list, I'll call them, for the shows.
Yeah.
And, of course, he perused everything because I told him, I said, look, man, I'm all about this, but we have to make sure that everything we play is clean. I said, I don't care how loud and crazy it is, but we can't have people yelling out motherfucker every other word.
Yeah.
And people understand that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how long? It went on for a few years.
I think the first one was, I'm thinking like 2005 or something like that. I remember we. It seems like before we did the first show, we went to a show down in Nashville. Was that the one Big Business, the Bronx, and there was one other band? I think there was three bands. That's the one.
High on Fire, wasn't it?
It could have been. And we were up. They had us just before they changed the exit and around.
See, that's what those were the days, man. Yeah. We had that.
like our own private balcony.
Yeah, we were up on, they led us up to this special private place. And I think, was it Jason? Who was dropping his phone and stuff.
Josh dropped his phone twice.
Over on the merch guys below and stuff.
Yeah.
We were like, man, you're going to get us in trouble.
Yeah.
But that was an incredible show. Yeah. And I think it was the next night that we actually did the first American Nightmare Radio.
Yeah.
And so we did, what, like 14 or 15 of those?
And Hank 3 called in.
Hank 3 called in one night. Of course, we didn't do those every Saturday night. It was like, we do one, like 3 or 4 months later, we do another one.
Yeah. It was like every 3 months, it seemed like. And then Smitty moved.
Yep.
Yep. To Washington, D.C.
Yep.
And then when he would come in, we would do them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so and then...
Yeah. And then, so you did a poster for every show?
For every show. I think I missed one.
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't recall you missed one
show.
I know you did posters for every show, and you even did a T-shirt one time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's right. You did one T-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people are learning all kinds of stuff here today. But it's been a while. It's been 3 or 4 years since we did that, and I think we pretty much wrapped it up. I think it was 15 was the last one. But And sometimes people will say, I bet you never played this on the radio. And I said, dude, I have played everything on the radio.
G.G. Allen?
G.G. Allen.
Melvin's.
Yeah. Melvin's. Yeah. All of it. Yeah. I've played everything from Pat Boone to G.G. Allen and everything in between.
Pat Boone.
That's right.
Really?
Well, yeah. He did that metal album, dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
In a metal mood.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was a metal song, but it's still Pat Boone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit earlier. Print Mafia is no more. So what is going on with Jim Madison today?
Well, I'm still printing and doing...
The ink is in your blood, isn't it?
Yeah. Solo artwork.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday I printed and something just hit me. Like, I was just like, man, is it... Am I don't know. I was just like, man, what am I... I just thought, what am I doing? It was weird. It was a weird...
What are you doing is in...
Like, I don't know. Like, I recently moved. I got married.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things have happened.
Yeah.
Number one, and the big thing is found... faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
No idea that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that changed a lot of stuff around.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I used to live next to the print shop. So now I moved. I'm not next to the print shop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm like separated, which is good. And it's bad. It's got its ups and downs. Mm-hmm. It's nice when you just go in your boxers and just go print.
Sure.
But now I can't do that. I don't have it in my backyard.
Yeah.
So I really got to plan things out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So well, I don't even know why I said that. I was just like...
Well, it's cool, man. That's what you're going through right now. Yeah. Well, you have to adjust, my friend.
Yeah.
You just have to adjust.
Yeah.
It's all good.
So I laid low for a little bit and just kind of, you know, figured things out and then started printing some stuff.
Yeah.
And I've always been a fan, like even my old college work, Jesus was my main subject.
As I've told you this story before, the first time that I ever knew anything about you, well, not the first time, because like the Diggler's thing, but that I actually saw any of you, where I really was like, oh, that guy was some artwork that you did in the, I guess it was the, was it the mid-90s?
Yeah.
And it was actually like a print, a Jesus print. Yeah.
It was so weird because people would be like, oh, man, he must be really into God, or they would kind of be like, no.
Yeah.
No, I just like Jesus. He's just...
Yeah.
He's just a badass.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
Because I didn't believe he was like the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew he existed.
Yeah.
Tall tales, he's like a folk hero, you know? So then, and I did, that was my main subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I actually, I got like in this weird, like this really good spot, and then that's when I discovered God.
Mm-hmm.
That's when... I had my thing and was like, all right, cool. This has been building up for 47 years.
Yeah.
And this is what it is. So then after that, then I was like, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we were doing some Jesus through Print Mafia, but, you know, we had Kiss makeup on. And
well, yeah.
When you do a Jesus for Danzig, it's not so.
Yeah.
But that's one fortunate thing I have about, like, I hate to say, like, my journey, because I feel like it's everybody's journey. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like everybody that's involved. This is going to sound like real cosmic, I guess, but everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is connected. And so when I was trying, I forgot what I was totally going to say.
That's okay. You were getting so far you lost yourself.
Yeah. So anyway, it's been really good. So I've been trying to explore that.
Mm-hmm.
through artwork and through prints. So hopefully what God has planned for me is I can do prints that communicate something that that creates a conversation.
Oh.
And I don't know what that conversation is.
Yeah.
I hope that's what is planned for me. That's what I hope. I sure hope the hell is not talking about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not very, like I lose, you know, as you're telling this interview, it's hard for me to talk about stuff.
No, it's all good. But, you know, I think you're doing a great
job. I just would like to be able to do images and get some kind of conversation started.
Yeah.
But it's always been, it's always been that way.
Yeah.
And it hasn't changed. You know, I'm not trying to convert anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to treat everybody with respect, everybody.
Yeah.
No matter who it is. Who they love, you know, color, skin, sexual preference, whatever. I don't care. I don't care what you believe. I don't care.
You're
just want to be good.
You're saying,
people.
Hey, look, we're all in this together.
Yeah, all in it together.
Yeah,
you know, I just happen to, you know, believe in something, and someone might think I'm crazy. I don't care.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, because you've been there yourself.
Yeah,
yeah,
I've been there myself.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm getting ready to do a Marilyn Manson poster.
Mm-hmm.
I would jump at a chance to do, because I'm like, oh, Marilyn Manson, I can do something so evil. You know?
Yeah.
Now I don't know what I want to do.
Yeah.
But I don't think it, I don't think it.
It'll happen. You know? You'll get it. It's all good.
Yeah.
Let's ask just some random questions.
All right.
What's your favorite band of all time?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah. You got to pick one, dude. Just one.
Man.
Yep. It's a toughie.
Like, right off the top of my head, I would say the Smiths.
The Smiths. There we go. Because I know you're a big Morrissey fan. Yeah.
And I don't want to say just Morrissey. I think the Smiths has more of it. But then, I like The Cure.
Yeah.
I like Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
The first, 8 records with Ozzy.
Yeah. Okay.
Love Black Sabbath.
Okay. If somebody's listening right now and they're like, The Cure, I've heard of them. What's the one album they should check out by The Cure?
Okay. Standing on a Beach, which
That's
is
it.
The greatest hits of early stuff.
Yeah.
But I would go back to the beginning. I mean, if that catches you, that band had the biggest impact on me than any band.
Yeah.
Because that's when I discovered The Cure, right when Poison came out.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, was the end of metal.
Yeah. You were like, metal's cool.
I can't stand Poison. And I think Bret Michaels absolutely sucks.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I wouldn't mind. I heard he's going to be playing out here.
He's going to be coming through.
Yeah, cool.
You'll probably be in the bushes watching going, he's not so bad.
No. I'm sure he'll be. I don't know. I have a friend who's a huge Kiss fan.
Yeah.
Huge Poison fan.
Yeah. Well, that's all right.
Yeah.
Whatever works for you, right?
He says our shows always start late, and I always say, well, it's because he can't get off work.
Can't get off work. That's a good one. Yeah, I like that. He can't get off work.
But, you know, he's probably a super nice guy, but man, but they also blatantly ripped off Print Mafia.
Oh.
So they stole some artwork from us.
That's not good. So there's a sore spot there.
Yeah, they paid us a little bit.
Uh-huh.
For a couple of designs, but I've seen at least 3 or 4 that they didn't paid with.
Uh-huh.
But the good thing is, here's another sidekick, okay, is that it's Skull and Crossbones, but the crossbones look like penises going into the mouth.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I'll have to show you. It's hilarious.
I got
to
see that, man.
Yeah.
I got to see that.
Yeah, you know, because it's crossbones.
You may have shown me that because it sounds familiar, but you have to show me that to remind me.
Yeah, I was at Target and walked around. I saw like a greatest hits record, and I was like, man, well, that's our artwork.
Yeah, right there.
Yep. Yeah.
What's the best movie of all time?
Man, I'm going to have to say Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction is it.
That movie is flawless.
Yeah.
But... you know, that's right off the top of my head. It's also like the original Vacation.
Uh-huh. Of course. You know. Who doesn't like that? The family truckster.
Yeah.
Come on. But then Pulp Fiction, I think of him using the bathroom and the Pop-Tarts are Pop-Tarts.
Well, that's crazy. You know, that was a revolution. Like, that was the first time I ever seen like that kind of violence and that kind of dialogue. And it was my place at that point.
Yeah.
You know, that was when I was with my first wife, and I know exactly where we were sitting and watching it with her. And
So there we go, folks. Movie wise, Pulp Fiction and Vacation. Give us one more movie just for the heck of it.
Oh my gosh.
One more.
I like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
You know, I have never seen that, but I need to.
There's have you seen Snatch?
I have not seen that, okay. But some of my favorite people are in those movies. I need to see them.
Yeah.
The dude that was married to Madonna was connected with those, right? Didn't he produce them or direct them?
Yeah. Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, I need to see those.
Go with Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, mm-hmm. and then Snatch.
Mm-hmm.
And then
is Brad Pitt in Snatch?
Yes.
Okay, I think I've seen like the poster for that. Yeah. It seems like I saw him on there.
Supposedly he was such a fan of Guy Ritchie. He was like, man, please, like, write me in. That's just what I heard.
Yeah. So. Well, dude, we're just about done here. But okay. Do you have anything that you would like to add before we wrap it up?
Like, just say.
I don't know. Whatever.
Say hello to Anna.
Sure.
I feel like I'm on the radio.
No, yeah. You're not.
Yeah. So yeah, everything's good now. It's been, I don't know. I'm very, I wanted to find a better word for blessed, but there's no, I cringe when I hear that word sometimes, but I am, I'm blessed.
Mm-hmm. So life is good.
Life is really good. It's not perfect. I still get grumpy.
Yeah.
You know, but I recently got married.
But what is perfect?
Nothing is.
Yeah. Who knows?
You know, one day I was just like, man, I am very happy, because I make artwork,
mm-hmm.
and it causes conversation, mm-hmm. and people purchase it and they put it in their homes and I have conversations with them about it. And I'm very blessed in that,
mm-hmm.
I still work a full-time job,
mm-hmm.
but even that it's still a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Of course I was really hot today and sometimes I get grumpy and I'm like, man, what have I done? But here's my thing is I found God when I was 47 years old. So if I live to be 94, I can make up for the first 47. But it took that to get there. It's weird to, because I've done some stupid stuff and I've been on my third marriage. This is it.
Well, life just rolls, yeah, brother. You just go with it. You don't try to. I don't think you should. Anybody should ever beat themselves up or look down on what they've done in the past. Really, you just kind of have to. If you made some mistakes, just kind of go. I've learned a lesson, but I had to learn it the hard way.
Yeah,
and let's try to do it the right way now, and just roll with it, man.
But everything. Like I say it too much. Everything. There are no coincidences. Mm-hmm. It's all like a story. A story's not. Over yet, still going.
Well, we hope not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're still evolving.
Yes, evolving. Yes. So, I don't have any regrets at all.
Well, there's one. Maybe not regret, but you definitely don't want to spend another night in jail.
Oh, my gosh. But see, that's like, wonder if I was to go out here and smart off to a police officer now and go to jail. That'd be horrible.
I don't think they'd like that, man. Just don't do it.
Just don't ever go to jail.
Yeah.
Well, respect the police officer. And since then, here's another thing. Just real quick story.
No, go ahead.
Since then, I did have a problem with a police officer one time. And we were both like, hey, why don't we call another police officer to settle this?
Okay.
And he did.
Uh-huh.
But what it was it was when I drove the Print Mafia van with the stickers on the side.
Sure.
He thought I stole it.
He thought that you stole that van?
What are you talking about? And he's like, that is the wrong license plate for this vehicle.
Uh-huh.
And that's all he would tell me. And I was like, why would I steal this car right here?
Uh-huh. Well, somebody could have swatched. Yeah. If they stole something, switched out to take your plates.
So
that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happened was he was like, no, this is like later on when the other guy came down, we both calmed down, because he was accusing me of that. And I was saying, no. And it was getting a little bit uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, hey, whatever I got to do to not be in trouble.
Uh-huh.
Let's just get this taken care of.
Yeah.
The guy came on, he's like, yeah, that license plate goes on a Chevy Cavalier, da-da. And I was like, what? That's my other car. So, my stupid mistake.
Uh-huh.
But it could have been a situation that could have gone really bad.
So you're saying you had two license plates and you put them on the wrong car and then you got pulled over.
Yeah. But way later.
Yeah. Man, seriously, you need a book. You've got some pretty interesting stories.
Oh, man. It's so many, so many.
Well,
every poster has a story. Everything.
Of course.
Yeah.
Now, ink. Here's my last question for you.
Okay, ink.
What's your favorite color?
Vivid Lime Green.
That's it. We're done.
All right.
That's it.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
All right. Say bye.
Bye.
That's it.